This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. Personal Finance Wednesday. We'll talk about some parents struggling in a COVID age. They're raiding their kids' college fund just to stay afloat. We'll also get more insight into all those people getting into the mortgage business. Right now, the European Union proposing an $825 billion recovery fund to help the bloc's struggling economy. Also, some comments on Hong Kong. Andrew Bush is joining us, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. He's an economist. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Andy, let's begin with the Secretary of State. He's basically talking about Hong Kong and how it's not necessarily separate from China, not autonomous.
Right. And this is really key because under the U.S. Hong Kong Policy Act of 1992, we treat them as fully autonomous for trade and economic matters, even after China took control. Well, now if the U.S. says that they're the same as China, then that exempts or that takes away that exemption of tariffs, right, that President Trump put on China overall. And it disallows Hong Kong to import certain sensitive technologies and support in international bodies like the World Trade Organization. In other words, the U.S. can make it really difficult on China on Hong Kong to remain this stellar piece of financial and trade kind of special place going forward. And I think that's where the U.S. is heading with this because of what China is trying to do and what the Hong Kong government is debating right now about changing their policy towards Hong Kong being able to, or members of Hong Kong's population being able to say bad things about the Chinese anthem. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but it's a $6,500 fine and potential 3 years in jail if you come out and diss on the anthem of the Chinese. And this was happening in sports arenas, and that's why they're moving forward on it.
So what's the play here for the United States? Why come out and say this now?
Well, because essentially they're abrogating the agreement China has with the UK on taking over Hong Kong and keeping it completely autonomous, you know, two countries or one country, two areas. I forget what the phrase is. I'm sorry, I can't remember it right now. But I think they're going to move forward on it. The danger for the markets, why do we care about this, is because this could escalate another round of trade war between the United States and China overall. The U.S. could put trade sanctions or raise tariffs back on the Chinese. This could disrupt whatever early green shoots that we had at the beginning of the breaking down of the recent trade war. So that's why we care about what goes on in Hong Kong.
Talk about what the EU is proposing, a recovery fund for the EU.
Yeah, this is really significant, and I can't emphasize this enough. All right, just really quickly, the EU was a currency union only. It wasn't a fiscal union, meaning they couldn't issue debt like we can in the United States that is funded or supported by all 50 states, right? The 27 states that are in the EU can't issue a bond together. They have to do it all individually. Now what they're proposing is finally to have a fiscal union that will not only strengthen that union, but it'll give them the opportunity to do what they need to do, which is to spend a lot more money to get their economy back and growing. So this is really big news, but it's a long way from being done, but it's a crisis is going to be used for something really good in the EU if they can hammer this out and lay the groundwork and the structure for going forward. It will be a bond that will be issued and supported by all 27 countries, and it's a fantastic thing if they can get it done.
We'll be watching. Thanks so much. Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Just ahead, it may be 2 years before we get a COVID vaccine. There is a projection on a COVID-19 vaccine, while new software could help keep police officers safe from the disease. Let's find out about it. Michelle Cortez is here, health reporter at Bloomberg News, based in Minneapolis. Let's begin with the vaccine, Michelle. What's the latest that we're hearing, some of these predictions?
Right. So we are hearing that the vaccine, if everything goes very smoothly, Dr. Tony Fauci said that it is possible that we could start seeing some use of the vaccine later this year, even in November or December. But then we hear from former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb that in general, Americans won't be able to get it for at least another year or two. We're looking at 2021 for widespread use.
And so basically a wait and see approach. And in general, we really just don't know.
We really just don't know, Cisco. The bottom line is that everything has to go really, really perfectly in order for us to get a vaccine at all. If it goes really well, then there's a whole another hurdle that involves making it and getting it to the people where they need it. So we have hurdle after hurdle. If it all goes smoothly, the first one to come would be maybe some healthcare workers, really high risk people, stay in nursing homes, might be able to start getting it by the end of this year, but that's not for you and me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's talk about what Ford is doing here, trying to keep police officers safe.
Yeah, isn't it amazing what cars can do these days? What they're doing now is a software update for these police cars where they can automatically have the cars get themselves up to a temperature of 133 degrees Fahrenheit, which they believe is hot enough that it would destroy any virus that was in the car, making them, you know, self-cleaning. Like, think of a self-cleaning oven. This is a self-cleaning police car.
This is one of those things where you want to make sure you're out of the car when that's going on.
Exactly. Yes, that would be very bad. 133 degrees. Couldn't survive long for that.
Yeah, that would be steamy. Disney World, we've been talking about this today. They have plans to actually get their parks reopened.
They do. Talk about steamy, though, I tell you. July in Florida, July and August. They're talking about the middle of July starting to open up things down there. I have not been to Disney in the middle of the summer, but I imagine that maybe there's not that many people in line. I don't know anyway, but they're going to keep the numbers small. You have to buy your tickets in advance. Everything's going to be cashless. And they're hoping to get people back on rides, but they are going to reduce things like the parades and other events where everybody would congregate together. So still trying to get some social distancing going, but allowing a little bit of fun back into some people's lives.
It will be interesting to watch, see how that all goes. Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Just ahead, HBO Max launches today, streaming service. We'll give you the scoop on exactly what you can watch online and what it may mean for other streaming services.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The new streaming service, HBO Max, is now available in the U.S. Let's get the details. Tim Hanlon is here, founder and CEO of the Vertera Group here in Chicago. Tim, kind of give us the nuts and bolts on HBO Max.
Well, Cisco, it's a loaded question if there ever was one. So HBO Max is the latest entry into the streaming wars, as we've talked about for many, many months. It's $14.99 a month, and obviously the HBO brand is very powerful behind all of it, and AT&T, its owner, is counting on it to be a major success in the streaming wars. What's in it? You get HBO, the actual HBO that everybody knows and loves, all the high-end and well-regarded content, but also two other layers of stuff. One is what they're calling Max Originals, which are going to be an ongoing series of new shows and rollouts, the first of which is a show called Love Life featuring Anna Kendrick, as well as this mountainous library of stuff from the Warner Brothers and other Time Warner-related environments. That's Looney Tunes, that's the Harry Potter movies, and all those kinds of things. Shake vigorously, and that's the new $14.99 a month offering that called HBO Max that The price point is very common or very understood by current HBO subscribers. But that said, it gets really confusing right now as to who can subscribe to it, who gets it already or who will get it already, and who needs to pay more for it. Because in terms of a launch, it's been very confusing for consumers.
So for new consumers, obviously that's who they're trying to reach out to. They want new customers. The real benefit here is not just HBO's programming. They could have already had that. It's all these other movies.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, that's what I think from a marketing perspective, that's what HBO's ownership wants to sort of project out there. They want to basically say, look, you're used to getting HBO and all its quality for $14.99 a month. Now you can, for the same price, get that plus these originals, largely to come, as well as this gigantic library. I think the problem right now for most consumers, Cisco, is do I already have HBO, or have I used one of their previous apps like HBO Now or HBO Go? And there's a real launch confusion right now as to whether one already gets it or can subscribe to it without paying extra, or they need to subscribe anew. It's very, very confusing. But once you can get it, it's conceivably going to be very, very compelling for consumers.
Do we know, as the different streaming services come online, does it end up reducing content on some of the current streaming services as companies are taking what they own and putting it on their own service?
Yeah, I mean, look, the model is being replicated, right? I mean, NBC Universal's Peacock service, the same with certainly with Netflix and any of the others that are coming out, right? It's vertical integration, to use a buzzy business term, right? Where, you know, if it comes from our studios, we're going to likely keep it or at least originally place it in our offering first and maybe only. And then the game really is, and this is sort of the game that Netflix has really kind of pioneered, is building out as much original stuff as possible. Make enough unique stuff that's only available on our service, thus you will have to subscribe to us. And I, you know, how many of those people are going to absolutely subscribe to? It's going to be hard. I don't know if people can afford five or six of them just to keep all the exclusives under one roof.
Thanks so much. Always good insight. Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The state of Illinois is readying for the next phase of its reopening. America's most popular theme park sets a date to once again welcome visitors. Personal Finance Wednesday, how the pandemic is impacting families financially, including forcing them to deplete college funds. Mortgage applications are on the rise. We'll get an update from an industry expert. Wall Street, the Dow up 234 points. The NASDAQ is down 37. And the S&P is up 10 points. Oil down 3%. Lots of sunshine in Chicagoland, a few clouds, and a chance for a little bit of rain later this afternoon as we head to a high of 86 degrees. Right now, 82 at O'Hare, 73 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. Governor Pritzker says all four regions of the state remain on track to move into phase three of his reopening plan for the state on Friday.
A gradual restoration of more areas of our lives, together with the basic mitigations like social distancing, face coverings, and hand washing, taking greater care to consider public health in all that we do, are the keys to moving quickly through the phases of Restore Illinois.
The governor notes the positive rate of COVID-19 tests in Illinois is below 10%. Hospitalizations are at a six-week low. Disney World in Florida plans to begin a phased reopening on July 11th for Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. Epcot and Hollywood Studios, 4 days later, pending approval from the county and the state. Among the changes brought on by the pandemic, employees and guests will be required to wear face masks and undergo temperature screenings before entering the facility. If you're among the many now working from home, ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are mixed today. Let's see what's going on. Matt Shapiro is here, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Matt, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, I think, you know, Cisco, we're in the last 3 days of this unprecedented month with this big bounce back. But, you know, as they say, sell in May, and go away. So, you know, I think a lot of investors are taking a look at their portfolio. Everyone was completely blown away that the NASDAQ nearly hit just, you know, within 2 or 3% of an all-time high. So a little rotation out of those big winning technology stocks back into some of the fundamental names. But, you know, the market is pretty resilient. It was down a little bit, kind of bouncing back. Dow still up a bit. So, you know, that sell in May, you know, that was the old days when people tried to shift in and out so much. But definitely a good time. Take a look at your portfolios. Time to prune something back maybe you don't need over the next 2 or 3 years.
Notice that we have Disney stock barely budging today. You know, Disney's talking about reopening. Is the market already expecting this? That's why there's no real kiss for Disney?
Well, Disney was quite low, just absolutely thrashed along with hotels and airlines, and it was kind of the smart, safe way to play a rebound in airline and cruise ships and things like that. So I think, you know, Disney's come quite a long way back. And, you know, we went from where the 2 or 3 months ago, the unprecedented shocking declines with the economy shutting down. And now people are just, you know, tipping out. And then they see things like Disney coming back, travel bouncing back a little bit, the airline stocks doing okay, actually, for a change. So a little optimism creeping in. But again, good time to sort of freshen up the cupboards of your portfolio.
Yeah, are we starting to see, you touched on this in the opening, you have some of these tech companies, some of the businesses that were doing really well when the pandemic hit, they're kind of slipping a little bit now.
Well, that's understandable, Cisco. They had such an amazing run, but they remain core parts of everyone's portfolio. The reason the market has come back as well as it has is the unprecedented amount of growth and employment, the trillions of dollars, how important technology is, and that really wasn't disturbed by the whole emergency. So those technology stocks are still important parts of your portfolio.
So let's talk about going forward here. You have some optimism. You have a lot of companies, businesses, retail reopening here. What's an investor to do?
Well, I've always found, notwithstanding my earlier comments, to, you know, look through and prune some things in your portfolio, it's a good time to start investing, always in the summers. You can kind of take some time. Hopefully, you know, we have tremendous negative GDP estimates, even though consumer confidence has bounced back a little bit. So we're going to have to get through these really ugly economic prints, see what the employment picture is like. That is crucial going forward. So I think over the next 2 or 3 months, you can kind of pick your spots and go into your favorite investments.
And even, you know, maybe obviously you want to be careful about this, but maybe even take a little bit of risk, given the fact that there are still some stocks that are really quite low.
Right. All the money you can want to make or lose is in the airline stocks and the travel and the cruise ships. So there's plenty of things to do, and also even just real estate. You know, a lot of open questions about how quickly will city centers bounce back. So there's plenty of money still to be made.
But as always, be ready, or I guess not ready, be willing to lose it if you're going to invest in some of those, because we're not quite sure yet who the winners and losers in the travel industry are going to be.
No, but I did look at Southwest Airlines, and especially the credits, you know, bonds in UAL, American Airlines, Southwest, you know, they were yielding over 10 or 11% even just a week and a half ago. And then, you know, just a little bit of good news, and they've kind of bounced back nicely along with the stocks.
A lot of people rely on dividends, especially people who are relying on that for retirement income. Are we getting a sense that profitability is going to be at a point where we can expect dividends to get back where they were, or not quite yet?
Well, some companies obviously were very cautious with their dividends, and certainly no one's really raising dividends right now. But there's some great dividend payers, Verizon, UPS, even the bank stocks, JP Morgan, that are actually having a good day. So you can still find 3 or 4%, but don't get that dividend sweet tooth. That's where you can kind of get in trouble looking into some sort of, you know, mortgage, real estate sort of package, not to denigrate that kind of thing, but something that pays 7 or 8 or 9% can sometimes be unsustainable.
Yeah, so the 11% dividend, I should probably shy away from that.
Unless you want to buy bonds in Southwest Airlines, then you can try for it.
Always good to have you on. Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Just ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, trying to maintain the family budget during the pandemic.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour. This afternoon, we're getting some help trying to stay on budget at a time of major financial challenges. Craig Bolanos is with us, founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group, based in Inverness and Downers Grove. Craig, it's not judgment here, right? Because you have some people who are dealing with significant financial hardship and just looking to stay afloat.
Oh, absolutely. There's no judgment. With millions and millions of Americans unemployed, it's just tough going out there. And in particular, parents with children under the age of 18, I mean, they're consistently citing in survey after survey going into credit card debts, taking personal loans, and even taking money from their children's college fund just to keep a roof over their head.
So a lot of people, yeah, as you mentioned, they're taking money from pretty much wherever they can get it. What is some advice for them going forward on how to handle this without it being something that is financially devastating down the line?
Well, I think, you know, now is the time for just survival. There will be a time when the world comes back. There's going to be a time when the jobs come back that people should commit to the steps that we always talk about in this great program, which is having 3 to 6 months of emergency reserves, using a budget to start telling people, you know, where your money should go instead of wondering where it went. But in the interim, I even go back to the tapping of college money. Listen, I'd rather people tap their college accounts than tap their retirement accounts, because last time I checked, you can't borrow for retirement, but you can borrow for other things like college if need be.
Yeah, you can borrow. Yeah, absolutely. You can borrow for those things and kind of be careful about it. Let's talk about some other ways that people can be prepared. I'm thinking if you are a parent, you have unique responsibilities, especially if something happens to you.
Well, I think everybody, unfortunately, with so many lives lost and people sick, you know, due to COVID-19, we've seen so many people contacting us at the Wealth Management Group, even looking to update or create their estate plan. So I say to the listening audience, if you have young children and you don't have a will, you need to get one. It's just mission critical.
Will, and then what about life insurance? Because you have some families where you have one parent that's the sole provider or at least a significant provider.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm so happy you mentioned that, Cisco, because I don't think we spend enough time talking about the responsible action, which is securing life insurance. So if you're financially responsible for somebody, your husband, your wife, your partner, your children, then you need to look at your workplace benefits, quickly elect optional coverage because it's easy. You pay through via payroll deduction. But then you need to put on top of that dirt cheap term insurance to secure your family, because again, that insurance through work, if you leave your job or lose your job, that insurance doesn't stick with you.
Really important stuff to take care of families. Personal Finance Wednesday, sponsored by Mesereau Wealth Management. Thank you so much, Craig Bolanos, founding partner, chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday, still to come, the latest on the mortgage market. A lot of people applying to buy homes.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Mortgage applications are up for a sixth consecutive week. Guy Sakala is here to talk about it, publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance. Guy, is this new purchases? Is it refinances? Is it kind of distributed between the two?
It's a combination of the two, but a lot of it is new purchases. There are a lot of people who are coming out of their homes and have decided they want to trade up and buy a new home, or get out of an apartment and buy a home for the first time. So there's a lot of interest in it. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of inventory out there because a lot of people pulled off their homes off the market soon as the pandemic hit because they didn't think there'd be enough traffic. But we're seeing that traffic start to pick up right now.
So does that mean that we're seeing prices going up, maybe people getting a little more for their homes?
I think that's what it's going to take to get people to put on the market. But, you know, we hear anecdotal information about houses being even bid up, cash borrowers coming out of the woodwork again to make it. So it looks like for the limited inventory there is, it's pretty competitive. And I didn't mean to cut you off, too. There is a lot of refinancing activity going on, too. because rates are technically below 3% in many areas, and that's something we haven't seen in our lifetime.
I know. I actually got an email from my mortgage holder saying, hey, you can refi now, so this is something that banks are actually trying to get.
It is, but it tends to be more of what we call the conforming mortgages. The jumbo mortgage market tends to be a little tighter now. There are a lot of the large jumbo lenders, those are the big banks who tend to hold these mortgages, who pulled back from that for a while. And I know people were getting quotes of 5 or 6% on a jumbo mortgage, even though they should be much lower than that. And that just showed an unwillingness by some lenders to really want to make these loans. But hopefully that's going to loosen up a little, too.
Talk about when it makes sense for people to refi. Obviously, they hear a lot about lower rates, historic lows, and they're just not sure whether it's right for them or not.
Well, anybody who's pretty much gotten a mortgage in the last 2 years could probably benefit. It's just going to take some shopping around. You know, I've heard some quotes of, you know, 2.6%, 2.7%, which is a fantastic rate. Most borrowers now, anyone who got a loan in the last couple of years, is probably in the high 3s or 4%. And if they can go down, you know, 0.75% or so, that pretty much is a no-brainer and will save them hundreds of dollars a month. So that makes sense to do. One other thing I should mention is credit standards have tightened during this pandemic. Lenders are looking for higher credit scores, bigger down payments. So it's not quite the same as we saw at the beginning of the year.
Good insight. Thanks so much, Guy Sakala, publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, you can just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and with the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.